Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good morning, everyone, and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, as I go into your word this morning, I ask the Holy Spirit to come be with us, to do the speaking, but also to open our hearts and our minds to be receptive, Father, so that we can gain a better understanding of this your word and receive it in all its truth and according to your will in your way, Father, so that we can be better equipped to reach out to those that are walking in darkness and weakness, Father, that we may be able to help them to come to a knowledge that they need something more than themselves. They need the Lord Jesus Christ. May we be able to give them the word in truth. Now, Father, be with us throughout this study. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. We're going to be in the last chapter of 1 Peter. We'll probably go in to the first chapter of 2 Peter. This first chapter, or the last chapter of 1 Peter, is only 14 verses long, and most of them are short verses. All right. Now, as we go into verse 1, it says, the elders which are among you, I exhort you, and also an elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. 2. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lord over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. For when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the older, unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. We find there in those verses that this section introduces the charge to the elders, which is a term that's borrowed from Israel to describe the men who ruled in the church. The term is synonymous bishop, and is a term often overlapping or pastor in some forms, the Protestant church government. The crown of glory is promised to faithful pastor when the chief shepherd shall appear. The rewards will be realized when Jesus returns for his church. Now, as you pick up there with verse 6, he says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. 7. Casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. We've heard that before, haven't we? As we come through this New Testament. Now, 9. Pardon me. Whom resists steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. 10. But the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Now, 11. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. 12. By Savannah's, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose, I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein ye stand. 13. The church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, salute you, and so does Marcus, my son. The church that is at Babylon may be a cryptic or symbolic name for Rome, or Peter may have actually been in Babylon, which had a large Jewish population. And Marcus, my son, probably refers to John Mark, whom Paul had disqualified, but whom he later forgave and put to work. Now, we have finished with this letter of 1 Peter to the church. And as I said, we're going to be looking into the 2 Peter and where God will take us. Right now, I do not know. It is 22 verses long. We may get to it, we may not. We'll see what God has for us. All right. Here in verse 1, Simon Peter, a servant, and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Now here in these 2 verses, Peter identifies himself using the aromatic Simon rather than the more familiar Greek Simon. He describes himself as a servant and as an apostle, one sent with a commission. And as he goes on here now in 3, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. His divine power here in these 2 verses is a title of God used by Jews who revered him so much that they would not pronounce his name. We go on now with 5. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge. 6. And to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. 7. And to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. And in those 3 verses there, in this section, Peter urges his reader to grow spiritual maturity and add to your faith, indicates the area of growth that follow after salvation. Virtue is moral excellence. Knowledge is spiritual truth. Temperance is self-control. Patience is endurance. Godliness is God-likeness. Brotherly kindness is brotherly love. Charity is vocational love. And this process is a lifelong cycle of spiritual growth for all believers. All believers are to walk that way. Now, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we're learning things from the Word of God that we need in our life so that we can be fruitful for the Lord our God and do the things and accomplish the things that He has for us to do. Now, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. 10. Wherefore, your other brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. And 11. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly unto the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, he's letting us know there that you shall never fall. The author is not referring to falling from salvation, but to failure in Christian living. Pardon. The everlasting kingdom refers to the eternal realm of God, where Jesus is the undisputed ruler. It is synonymous with heaven. Thus, the one who acquires the virtue of verse 5 through 7 to have a rich inheritance in it. As we go on now, here in 12, it says, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them and be established in the present truth. We need to always be put in remembrance of things that we know and have known to make sure that they are still in our lives. We have not walked away from them. They are still there and still producing what needs to be produced. 13. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. You see, there again, coming in with this remembrance. 14. Knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has shown me. Peter knows now that death is looking at him. The Lord has let him know this. 15. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may, be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. Now, with those two verses, 14 and 15, he's saying, shortly I must put off this tabernacle, the first of Peter's impending death, which we knew that, which the Lord had predicted in John 21:18-19. And thus Peter urges his readers to remember his testimony after he had died. Now as we go on here in 16, for we have not followed cunning devised fables, when we made known unto you of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. 17. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when he came, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." 18. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. Peter claims to have been one of the eyewitnesses of his majesty at the transfiguration of Christ. Now, when he was revealed to Peter, James, and John in all his glory, we know he was there, because that is the three. It was him, James, and John. Now, 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. Pardon me. 20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. He's letting us know none of the scripture has come from just man. It has come through them and was given to them by the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. Now, a more sure word of prophecy refers to the infallibility of Scripture as the greatest and clearest revelation of God to man. Prophecy may be used here as a general term for divine revelation. Private interpretation means the origination of it. Thus, true revelation does not originate by the will of man. It comes from God himself through the holy men who were godly human instruments of recording God's message, moved by the Holy Ghost, describes the process of revelation and inspiration, and moved means to be carried along as a sailboat in the wind. Thus, human beings were so moved by the Holy Spirit that what they wrote was God's inerrant word. You see, that's why this word of God that we hold in our hand is all true, because it all came from the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. 'Which we give to him by the Father.' You see, we know that Jesus, the Father, and the Holy Spirit are all one. And it comes to you and I, and has come to mankind in different times by different ones of them that appear to us. Now, we have come to the end here of chapter two. Chapter one of Second Peter. We'll be stopping here for the morning. And I pray that God willing, we're going to chapter two. This evening, and it is also 22 verses long, so we'll see what God has for us. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as I close your word, I thank you for this word, Father, and I thank you for the Lord Jesus and for the Holy Spirit, Father. And I pray for Israel, for them to have peace. Also, Father, that they will all accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and their Messiah. And Father, this land in which I live, so much evil has been brought upon it by those that are sitting in high places in our government, filled with evil and bringing evil upon our land and our people. I pray, Father, for them to be removed from office and replaced with those that love you, that love the Lord Jesus, who loves your church and your people, who love this land, and will work with us to put this land back upon the foundation in which it was founded, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. And that they'll work with us to put Jesus back into every place he's been taken out of. Father, for those that are part of this ministry and that listens to us with this Bible study and all, I pray, Father, that they walk in health and that you keep them safe through this day, Father, and bring them back together this evening at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, and back into your world. Father, watch over us all. Use us through this day. Give us someone else to speak to about the Lord Jesus Christ. And be with us. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, all. I pray you have a great day. Walk with God, he'll walk with you. Good day.